Hello and welcome to the fourth episode of Where's the News? Unlike last week, the news has already been found and we are ready to report it. With me as always, Garrett Roberts with A&E and Nick Hederick with Sports. How are we doing, boys?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. I still feel like death because we're recording this right after our Halloween special.
Yes, so keep your eyes peeled. This will probably be up after the Halloween special if I had to guess, because we had to get that up while Halloween's
still
going.
Make sure you listen to both.
Make sure you listen to both. We just had a solid conversation on the integrity and dignity that comes with trick-or-treating.
You're absolutely correct. We did.
I think it's going to change the way you view the world if you listen to that.
So I think I just motivated a lot of people.
I feel motivated.
The part where I said men and a woman will be made tonight, that was a bit shaky. That's where I kind of lost where I was going. I lost direction briefly, but I figured it out, and I think I inspired a lot. I think I inspired millions.
Yeah, that was the most beautiful Nick Hederick rant I think I've ever heard.
Well, hopefully I go on another one.
Yeah, let's see if we can spark one up.
Yeah, who knows? We got an arts and entertainment topic that's a little bit spicy.
Oh, a little spicy.
Yeah, I mentioned this in the newsroom earlier, and people weren't too happy about it, so why don't we get into it?
Oh, Garrett, taking the reins. All right, I like it. Let's see it. Let's hear what you got.
AMD Cup didn't know.
The American Music Awards made a big announcement earlier this week. They named Taylor Swift as the recipient of their Artist of the Decade Award.
Oh, so she won it.
Yes, they are officially declaring her Artist of the Decade, for their ceremony at least. Winning a total of 5 Artist of the Year awards over the last decade, in addition to her nomination for Artist of the Year this year, she'll join the exclusive list of decade winners during the ceremony on Sunday, November 24th. I know whenever I mentioned this earlier in the newsroom, there was some hot debate about the people who are winning these awards. For example, industry plants?
People planted into the industry, like Taylor Swift.
Oh, that's yeah, but
I was kidding.
Okay, that's I was going to say.
A joke. There's a big thing that Billie Eilish is an industry plant, too.
Oh, man. She's going to win the next one. Just
she better.
She'll probably win Artist of the Year.
Nick Hederick, big Billie Eilish fan. Not even going to hide it.
But some names I heard tossed around in the newsroom earlier, Kanye. I bet you can guess who threw that one around.
Kanye, Kendrick Lamar, two that come to my head right away.
For the decade.
Yeah.
When did Post Malone
maybe even J.
Really,
Cole.
Really start?
Post Malone started a couple years
ago. I think he was like 2016, maybe?
I think it's a little too early for him to get that one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a big rap or hip-hop guy. Taylor Swift, I identify, I guess. That's kind of a defense for her. You just know who Taylor Swift is.
What was she doing in 2010? Where was she at? Because she went through that weird, like, country phase, and then she like,
you mean how she started?
Yeah, how she started. And then like she went to like her pop phase, and I mean I don't understand. Where was she at? 2010 Taylor Swift, what was she doing? What songs did she have out?
She's also got a couple other nominations while at the show, while you do your research there.
Okay.
She is in the running for favorite adult contemporary artist, which is just a weird title. I don't really understand. Favorite female artist. She's running up against, I believe, Ariana Grande and Billie Eilish in there. You Need to Calm Down is nominated for favorite music video. And Lover is nominated for favorite pop / rock album.
Oh, which, yeah, the rock album Taylor Swift put out.
Yeah.
Don't they dare. If Taylor Swift and the word rock are associated with her current style of music, that is a slap in the face to every rock performer that ever stepped foot on stage before her.
I agree wholeheartedly with Nick here. Who's she in the running
with? It's terrible what the definition of rock is right now.
Who else is qualified as rock right now?
Well, that's what I was actually just looking up to make sure I get them on.
Oh, man, we're about to get that rant real early. Really early.
The nominees for 2019, there's three.
Okay.
For what is this? Rock?
This is for Rock.
And this is the American Music Awards, in case. Lover by Taylor Swift. Thank You Next by Ariana Grande.
Are you kidding me?
This is oh, you're not man. Reading the wrong thing.
No, this is the category. Favorite pop/rock album. So
okay, so it's either or.
Yeah, it's either
why
or.
Are they, why are they the same thing?
Well, the third album is Billie Eilish's When We All Fall Asleep.
Okay, that's acceptable.
Yeah, but she's not rock.
No, none of them are rock. Why do they combine the categories? There's different genres of music.
Yeah, it's honestly like...
It makes no sense.
If you look at some
That's like favorite rap/country album. Why are they paired together?
Some of the previous winners are stuff like Fleetwood Mac's Rumors, which, yes, equals Greatest Hits. I think that's kind of a cop-out victory.
Yeah, the Greatest Hits. All right, Greatest music Hits. Award that shows, shouldn't even be in there.
Music award shows are nonsense.
Like, I like the Eagles, but, like, you can't put a Greatest Hits album in for the AMAs.
We have Michael Jackson's Thriller, Prince's Purple Rain.
So,
which those are good pop albums, but they're not rock.
Why are they paired up?
Eagles, Hell Freezes
Why
Over.
Why on earth are they paired up?
The Eagles won twice.
On a dark desert highway.
Will Smith won for Big Willie Style.
Listen, all I have to say about this is Taylor Swift winning Artist of the Decade is a sham.
Yeah. Who else is an Artist of the Decade?
Realistically, you can make a better argument for Katy Perry. Drake, maybe even Adele.
I could see Drake.
I could see. Honestly, I'm not a big Drake fan.
I'm not a Drake fan either. But everything he did was big.
Yeah, exactly. The way he was just immersed into our culture. Like,
Kanye West, Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah,
I mean, in all honesty, the fact that in Taylor Swift's nomination, like most of the stories revolving around it, the fact that they have to mention Kanye West. Took the stage in 2010 during her when she won and went, you don't deserve this.
Wait, he did that?
You don't remember
you don't
that?
No, remember
that's
that?
Crazy.
Beyonce had the best album of all time?
It was a music video, I think.
One of the best music videos of all time.
You don't deserve this.
2010 is when Speak Now came out, which in my opinion is her best album.
I don't listen to her
mostly
album,
because
so
Big...
You.
I just... Never mind. That's that. Well, I just saw that word on my screen. 2010 had absolute... Bombs like Mine, Back to December, Dear John, The Story of Us.
Nothing that I've heard of from her.
No.
The Story of Us and Back to December are probably two of my favorite Taylor Swift songs, and that's not a long list, but it is, you know, it is what it is. That was actual, you know, the not pop sound that she has now. That was still kind of pop country to where now I would say Taylor Swift is a full-blown pop star. Reputation was hot garbage. Lover was hot garbage. I don't know. Obviously, it's a whole decade-long award, but she went from being a pop country star with some songs that I would classify as good to making maybe one good song off of an album. Because I have listened to both of these albums in full, or at least close to it, and her last two albums were hot garbage.
Yeah, so I think before we...
Am I saying that because she's a woman? No. Case in point, I love Billie Eilish.
Before we move into some of the other decades winners, and I'll get your kind of quick takes on those, because some of these, I think, horrible bands, but maybe it's kind of affecting how we look at Taylor Swift now whenever we look at these.
Okay.
But before we move on, 2006, the best album was Nickelback's All the Right Reasons.
Okay, and that is a problem. That is why rock is not one of the most popular genre in the world anymore, because for about 5 to 10 years, people were convinced Limp Bizkit, Creed, and Nickelback were the peak of rock music.
Creed did win in...
I don't want to know what Creed won, because it's going to make me upset. No. No, Mom. My mom loves Creed. No.
Yeah, no, my mom loves Creed, too.
Daughtry? Oh. You're telling me Daughtry, Buck Cherry,
well,
Nickelback?
Daughtry won the next year.
I don't care. Just stop saying those things and making me more upset.
Oh, Nickelback won over the Red Hot Chili Peppers Stadium
Art. Oh, no, come no. On. Oh, my goodness. No.
No.
But the other nominee was Various Artists High School Musical.
What? Wait. That was in the same category as Red Hot Chili Peppers?
Yes.
What is the AMA, Garrett? Where did this come from?
This is the American Music Awards. They...
What is their grouping? What is their...
Stadium Arcadium is a top three, perhaps top two, Red Hot Chili Peppers record.
I agree.
It is one of the best rock albums of the 2000s, if not the best. It was a double... What is it? That's a double LP, I believe it was. It's like 2.5 hours long. Maybe, I don't know. I don't remember the time stamp of it. It is extremely long. It's a double LP. It's phenomenal.
I'll have you know, Nick, according to the AMAs, it's just as good as High School Musical.
No.
According to the AMAs.
If you're telling me that a Nickelback album beats Stadium Arcadium, I would like to personally bring in the voters to this very room and have them explain their thought process. Chad Kroeger is not worthy of picking up John Frusciante's guitar.
I don't understand.
The Red Hot Chili Peppers outclass Nickelback every day of the week, twice on Sunday. And the fact that a Nickelback out... The Red Hot Chili Peppers' worst album might compete with Nickelback's best album.
That's a bold claim. That's a bold claim.
It's not a bold claim.
It's entirely true, but it's a bold claim.
It's a bold claim because the early Chili Peppers were kind of an interesting band trying to find their sound, and it wasn't that good. I don't think they were that good till Blood Sugar Sex and Magic. But I think they were trying to find their sound, but I still think it offered more and it was something different compared to Nickelback, which was, hey guys, let's go make some radio rock. Yeah. Heck yeah, Chad, sounds good. Go marry Avril Lavigne in a couple years and get divorced after 2 years. Unbelievable. What a joke. Music award shows are a joke. Cardi B, Invasion of Privacy, beating Astroworld and Swimming was a joke. Whoever votes on these things needs to just stop voting on them and bring in people with common sense. Because there are definitely less than 10 brain cells involved in every single voting committee for a music award shows.
I say to the four people listening to Where's the News, hashtag get it trending, hashtag cancel the AMAs. I don't want to hear any more about this. Your topic, Garrett, it's canceled. This has just brought nothing but disgust to this friend group.
Well, I mean,
there's so much tension in the radio room right now that I want to leave mid-podcast.
Adele's 21 was bigger than I would argue to say any Taylor Swift album. I might be wrong.
Yeah, true. Adele really...
But that, like... Whereas Taylor Swift, like, only younger girls like it. Like, I know teenagers, I know young adults, I know adults that loved Adele's 21. Because it was catchy, but there were parts of it that were mature.
Wait, okay. I'm really going to disappoint my dad by saying this. And I'm not the biggest fan of him myself. But I would like to argue that, based off the criteria that I'm seeing here, Ed Sheeran beats Taylor Swift as well. I don't know. Just looking at the list and...
Well, every Ed Sheeran song has been accused of plagiarism, basically. So
just going off the list and sort of seeing these criteria that they seem to be holding these artists to, why does Taylor Swift win?
Well, let's look at some of the previous candidates to kind of see what their rationale is.
Okay.
In the 1950s, these were done in 2000... They awarded them kind of posthumously for...
Oh, it's humorously, all right. It's a joke.
To the
80s. Real joke.
I think it was to the 80s they did it posthumously.
Okay.
But in the 1950s, they just said that the artist of the decade was Elvis Presley.
Okay, I can buy that.
That's fair.
Yeah.
It's fair.
In the 60s, it was the Beatles.
Okay, yeah,
okay,
there you
go. I'm not going to argue the Beatles.
And now it's Taylor Swift.
In the 70s, it was Taylor Swift. No. It was Stevie Wonder.
I don't know much of Stevie Wonder to really comment on that.
Stevie Wonder's a good time.
I'm going to tell you it's hard to beat Led Zepp in the 70s.
I was going
to
say. I said,
he never saw that one coming.
That's that's really debatable, though. I mean, Stevie Wonder's, he's got some nice music. He's got some groovy tunes.
Honestly, one of them should have been Chuck Berry in the 50s or 60s because everyone was stealing his crap, such as the Beach Boys.
Yeah, but I don't know if I'd give him Artist of the Decade. That's a
Chuck
lot.
Berry?
No, Stevie Wonder.
Well, the 80s, we kind of get back on the track. Michael Jackson.
Okay, yeah. Who
It'd
else?
It'd be hard to tell me Cyndi Lauper didn't deserve it.
Michael Jackson also won Artist of the Century in 2002.
That's hard to not give the Beatles.
Yeah.
It's hard.
I respect the decision, but I think
it's hard to
comment. With you. It could go either way.
It could go either way.
Did the Beatles
Did the Beatles gave the format for pop music.
Arguably, yes.
But Michael Jackson, I think, had that aspect of he was an entertainer, a great performer, a great singer. John, what do you want to say?
Nick, Garrett, this is a judgment call on your part because this... I think really the only determining factor is...
No!
Did the Beatles touch kids?
Probably. So to kind of continue on, we have in the 90s, Garth Brooks.
I
can see a header kind of getting...
Okay, Garth Brooks is like... He's like pinnacle country music, though.
Listen, Garth Brooks was a country superstar, though.
One of the best.
But...
Who else do you have going
in the 1990s, Metallica...
Yeah.
Oh, very good point.
As much made as the I... most money off of touring, I believe, had the most attended concerts off of touring.
You got Nirvana
touring.
In the 90s.
Okay, I really find it hard to give Artists of the Decade to a band that was around for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, but look
decade.
At the way they changed music.
I am not disagreeing with you at all, but I think you need to reward consistency over
Did
the course of a full
decade. Did he not just say Metallica? Metallica arguably made metal mainstream. As much as I have dissed Metallica.
And in the 90s, they were a very, you know... They were...
I'm not disagreeing with Metallica. I'm just saying.
Well, even, like, Nirvana, like, think about that, dude.
And arguably, 80s Metallica was better than 90s Metallica. Just to throw
yeah,
that
oh,
out there.
Yes. 100%.
The Road Reload, the Garage Inc. thing but, in the 90s.
And I guess to kind of finalize it, this one was also a heated one in the newsroom.
Oh, boy, here we go.
The 2000s.
Yeah.
Was awarded to Eminem.
Who was second?
That was a tough one.
There was no second. They just awarded it.
Okay.
So you think about in 2010, somebody sat down and went.
So we're going from 2000 to 2010.
Yeah. So this would be essentially
Usher.
In 1960, Elvis Presley won it for the 50s. So think about it like.
Yeah.
This is over the entire decade. So in 2000. Garth Brooks won. In 2010, Eminem won.
I feel like... I really don't know, because...
I think Eminem is an amazing lyricist. He's got some really interesting ways that he plays with the English language. No matter, like, the vulgarity in it honestly adds to it.
Yeah.
I think if you listen to Eminem clean, you don't deserve to listen to Eminem. Go tell your parents.
Give it
hey.
To Avril Lavigne, actually, for the 2000s.
But there's arguably better artists in the 2000s that could have got that.
I think, I don't know. I
Nickelback.
Think, I think Eminem's.
Clearly they have a favorite.
Eminem's a fair choice.
Yeah, Eminem's a fair choice.
Jay-Z.
Yeah.
50 Cent came onto the scene.
Kanye.
Kanye was, I think he was toward the latter half of the 2000s.
Maybe that's why. Maybe it was just like Kanye.
Mariah Carey had a lot of big songs still in the 2000s.
Let's take a look at Eminem's.
Creed?
Shut up, Garrett.
Let's move on to sports.
Yeah, why don't we move on to the sports? This is obviously...
Can we summarize it by saying that... let's just conclude this. Taylor Swift doesn't deserve this.
I think the AMA selection process is quite bad because...
Yeah.
I will say this. For a good chunk of the decade, Taylor Swift was the biggest thing in music. And although her star power, I'm sure, is still massive, more than I could ever comprehend.
It's huge.
I think it has fizzled out over the last couple of years, but obviously still an A-list celebrity. People are still hanging on things she does. She has a bunch of crazy Twitter fans.
They're called stans.
So I understand the pick. Although I don't agree with it, I understand it. That's my final case.
Can we agree to... Hashtag cancel the AMAs.
If Hollywood's Bleeding doesn't win like best album of the year, then yes.
All right. You heard it here first, folks.
Interesting.
Hashtag cancel the AMAs. All right. I think with that, let's hashtag cancel them and hashtag premiere the sports segment.
Oh, big yawn. Big yawn from Nick. Well, in Pittsburgh sports news, it came out today that Le'Veon Bell was being a little shopped around yesterday. There was some talks of him maybe being traded. Guess who wanted to potentially get Le'Veon Bell? That's right, the Pittsburgh Steelers wanted to bring him back. Well, I'm not sure why. I understand why, with injuries, the James Conners, the Benny, the Snells, and, you know, Jalen Samuels, who will be coming back. I kind of understood it, but it was just very odd to me why they'd want to do that after all of the locker room drama he might have, you know, caused the last couple seasons. Also, the Steelers are picking up the option on Starling Marte, which is $11.5 million, somewhere around there, for a player option. I believe it's a player option, team option. I can't remember. But whatever, they're picking up the option on Starling Marte.
I just want to say, what an insult to James Conner.
He is really injury-prone. James Conner is very injury-prone.
I agree. He's on my fantasy team, and every week I'm like, please. But I just think that, like, this kid's given the Steelers his all, right? I've seen nothing but hard work from this kid.
He's also fumbled, like, three games away.
I don't disagree with that. I think he needs to – he's got a lot of work to do. But the kid's a good running back. Overall, I think, like, he needs some work. The injury-prone thing isn't helpful.
From the best city in America, too.
Yeah, Erie, PA. He is Nick Hederick. Their stories match.
The Las Vegas of
both
the
East. Both from Erie, both had cancer. One was a star high school athlete that is now a professional athlete. One's doing this.
God.
Just to put it out there.
But I just think that's insulting to him to want to bring someone
to make that comparison.
No, I think it's a very fair comparison. But I think that someone who's genuinely trying to benefit your team as a whole, and I know it's about winning the game in the NFL, obviously, but I think that you also have to keep these factors in mind, and to just try to hire this cancer back to your team to replace this kid who's genuinely a benefit towards the team is insulting. That's all I have on it, really. I don't know how that happened. I don't know how you can look at last year, look at all the problems that you had with Le'Veon Bell, and then somehow think that it's a good idea to try to get this guy back, even after the New York is just trying to get rid of him. Nobody wants to work with him. He's a pain. It's just, why do you want him back? You got rid of him. You won. Why take him back? Why even bother? Sure, he's good, but, like, you have potential on your team right now. And obviously we've been struggling this season. We all saw the first half of that Miami game. It was awful, right? But just you have to take steps. And I think if you go for Le'Veon Bell, obviously I don't think we got him. I think they missed the deadline, right?
No, they didn't get him. The deadline ended yesterday at 4.
Yes.
Yesterday being Tuesday or Wednesday, October 30th.
But it's just it's absurd to me.
That was Tuesday, the deadline.
I think
that
you're right.
Two days ago.
You would be taking a step backwards. And also, because I looked into this too before the podcast started, because I figured you were going to talk about it. Le'Veon Bell said this in a podcast, and I'm not saying that Le'Veon Bell could lie about this, because that's kind of a big deal, and he would probably get in a lot of trouble for that. But he is Le'Veon Bell, and I think that it would be ridiculous for the Steelers to do this. Like, I almost can't believe it, because it's just – what a poor decision, man, to even consider it. That's all I'm saying.
And RMU Sports, the football team will play LIU, the Sharks, on Saturday. They'll look to move to 4-0 in conference play. Women's hockey hosts Penn State, coming off of some very difficult games against some of the top teams in the country. So keep an eye on that series. They'll try to find their way back into the win column after a difficult week against Cornell last weekend. Women's and men's soccer both play tomorrow. Volleyball also plays tomorrow and Saturday. I believe women's soccer also plays on Sunday. Women's soccer and men's soccer winding their seasons down. They need to grab a couple more points to get into the NEC tournament each, I believe. Volleyball still undefeated in conference play. They are looking to just cap off this incredible, incredible conference play portion of their season with an undefeated record. They will try to continue that luck this weekend. Men's hockey has the weekend off. This has been sports. Now it's time for the news.
head over to news now. Probably the biggest story, and the story with the most potential for memes and joke, is the road in Pittsburgh just decided it didn't want to work anymore, and it swallowed half of a Port Authority bus in downtown Pittsburgh.
The road didn't want to work anymore. It wasn't a sinkhole or anything.
It decided, we're just going
to... That wasn't a sinkhole. That was a pothole.
Yeah.
Sinkhole was 20 feet deep, and the bus, you know, just sort of went down in it, and emergency crews were on Penn Avenue and 10th Street for around 8 hours. They got there at 8 a.m. The Steeler game was that night. I would have loved to be there. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine being the city of Pittsburgh and being like, look, we got the game today. This bus is just eaten by the road, and we have to find a way to take it out. Like, it's a race against the clock. There should be a movie about this bus.
Well, did you see how they got the bus out? Did you watch the footage?
They
put it on cranes, and that bus
just
flew.
Lifted it up.
The magic school bus flew through Pittsburgh.
I just love looking at the pictures, man. It's like,
because it's at that angle where it's funny. Like, it's weird. It hits that ratio of meme potential where it's at just the right angle.
Oh, the memes are gorgeous. I hope I saved that article.
If it was turned over a little bit, people would be like, oh no, how horrible. If there was more damage to it. But it's just chilling there.
Yeah, there's a picture of, like, I think it's the driver of the bus or just someone from the city standing to the side with their hands on the back of their head, just looking absolutely defeated, and the bus is just popping up in the air. It's so funny. By the way, while I'm thinking about it, they have already made Christmas ornaments of the bus in the sinkhole.
I saw that. That was phenomenal.
I'm trying to find the memes. I just want to share some of these with you because as I was researching, they caught my eye. Yeah, there's already a Magic School Bus meme. It's got the Magic School Bus logo and then the Port Authority bus sticking halfway out of the Magic School Bus. The potholes memes, as Garrett mentioned.
On the
There's one of the I don't know how this is relevant at all, but there's one of the Port Authority bus going down the Steel Phantom ride in Kennywood.
It's just at that perfect Photoshop angle. Like, you could put it on hills. You could put it on, like... You can put it on the back of Luke Skywalker on Dagobah.
There's one. It's the bus, but it's photoshopped over the Titanic, and it's the movie poster, and it just says Pittsburgh.
You know, the Port Authority took way too long to fix that.
If you look,
you know, they could have fixed it within an hour, and it took them 10.
You know, if you look at the bus, right? If I'm like a Tony Hawk kind of person or something, you jump the back of the sinkhole. Right? And then that bus makes a pretty gnarly ramp. That's all I'm saying.
A good friend of the podcast, Malik Johnson, actually showed me a poster for Tony Hawk Underground that has that exact scenario.
That is awesome. I really don't know how that happens, but sure enough, Pittsburgh found a way. And the United States also found a way to... fight against ISIS. We have some good things going on. I wouldn't say good things. Good is rough.
As good as terrorism can get.
As good as terrorism can get, yeah. We have taken out the leader of ISIS.
That'll get it out.
U.S. military took out the leader of ISIS over the weekend. Baghdadi, I'm not going to try for his first name. It's Abu Bakr.
Al-Baghdadi.
Al-Baghdadi. That's his last name. They basically cornered him in a cave. They managed to save 11 children that he had in there with him, but he committed suicide when he was captured. He wasn't captured, but when they cornered him in the back of the cave, he committed suicide. Unfortunately, 3 children were killed. And overall, I think that it's a bittersweet victory. It's horrible that these children had to go down with this horrible man. But at the same time, we're one step closer to defeating ISIS, and I feel like, especially considering everything that's happened with Syria and the United States lately, this couldn't really be timed better. I think that this is a crucial moment in history for us.
Yeah, you saw whenever the story broke, a lot of Democrats were kind of critical, and like it was kind of some questionable reports and articles from the kind of left side of media. Like the Washington Post, there was a kind of viral response to how they had their headline. They called him, I forget what the exact word was. What did they call him? It was a, he was like a religious scholar, and that's how they were describing him. Which, granted, that's, in his past, yes, he was a religious scholar, right?
Yeah.
As,
but that's still very, that's a very controversial way of wording it. I
as understand. A writer, I understand why somebody would change the headline to that. It wasn't the original one.
Yeah.
Then they changed it, and then they changed it back because the head editor went, what did you do?
Yeah, that's definitely not going to have bad blowback.
I think some of that negative press kind of came from the convenience of it all, too. Like, we are, as soon as we started moving forward for impeachment, we kind of got derailed ever so slightly, and there was people critical of that, but I think that the stories in general were kind of in poor taste. As somebody who is very left-leaning, I think it was in poor taste to kind of criticize that. However, to kind of lighten the mood after that kind of tense situation, I believe that a good boy is receiving an award.
A good boy is receiving an award. Trump tweeted out a picture on Tuesday, I believe, of a dog that was involved in the tracking down of this leader and, you know, taking him out. And he tweeted, we have declassified a picture of the wonderful dog, name not declassified. So we don't know this dog's name, but
I believe it was revealed. It, like, this information came out earlier.
If
today.
You can find it. But he did a great job capturing and killing the leader of ISIS. And he was injured during the attack. He was electrocuted, so he is still in recovery. President Trump tweeted a declassified photo of a military dog that participated in the raid. A U.S. defense official told CNN that the dog suffered injuries from an electrocution. In his tweet, Trump said that he could not share the name of the dog because the information is still declassified. Kind of confused on why he can't reveal that information, because it's a dog, but
it's probably an intelligence issue. Like, if you see the name of, like,
that makes sense.
But I can't find the name of him. I believe I saw it earlier today. The current story is that, of course, because we can't have nice things, Trump posted a photo of him awarding the dog, and immediately the AP went, hey, that's our photo, you just photoshopped the dog in. Which, of all the things, so, like, oh my gosh, I'm going to show this to the other host. I'm sure you can find the moment on Twitter. But as people who work in the media and Photoshop, I didn't realize how bad it was.
Wait, Nick, look at this.
Please, wait, oh, no. This, oh, no,
the,
yeah.
The same picture from Twitter that he shared out.
Yes, that's the one he shared.
I thought that was a parody when I saw it.
No, that was from the president. He tweeted that out.
No, I thought he was, like, doing it as a joke. I didn't know he was trying to pass it off as, like, real.
He didn't catch that? He didn't catch this is the same exact picture of the dog that I put out a couple days ago?
This is the original picture, but
the dog has the Medal of Honor now. Is that correct?
Yes. I believe he's receiving the medal tomorrow. It's not like a big public ceremony, even though I wish it was. He is cute as hell. But that is one of the situations where, like, I think that's something, like, there's not going to be any negative press coverage of, because granted, it's a little bit ridiculous to award a dog, but also
he was a good boy. Okay, Garrett,
he was a good boy, he deserves
plus,
it.
like you sort of used it to transition. I think that, you know, in times like this where things are sort of dark and bleak, and although this is a victory for us, you know, death is never a good thing.
It's times like these you learn to love again. That one.
Yeah, it is times like these. But I just think that something light like this could just be what the nation needs right about now. You know, there's too much conflict. If we can all join together and pat this good boy on the head, that's something that I like to see.
Wow.
Heartwarming.
Heartwarming news from John Blinn.
The president describes him as a beautiful and talented military dog.
Ah, that's how you talk about John Blinn.
And he was injured.
Military.
So he did sustain some injuries. I hope he gets the Purple Heart for Woofers.
to reassure you on that, Garrett, CNN does continue to say that the military dog performed a tremendous service. He was slightly wounded and fully recovering, so you don't have anything to worry about there. He is going to be okay. Moving on to our next story, I think that was a good one to sort of wrap up with. Oh, wait, no, all I had was the weather after this, but we already discussed this in Halloween. But I just sort of wanted to discuss it non-Halloween related. The weather's bonkers right now. It's the biggest thing in the news. Western PA is really just sort of taking a beating lately. Nick and I walked to class today, and we were almost flushed away.
It was a river.
Yes.
Not the Eminem and Ed Sheeran river.
For RMU students, I know I saw all over social media that stairs were flooding up to the Wheatley Center.
Yes, walking between Wheatley and Scaife was a legitimate stream of water just flying at a high rate of speed. I wanted to grab my canoe.
Do you have a canoe?
No, I have a kayak. I said the wrong one.
Do you have it on campus?
No.
You should bring it on campus.
Where on earth do you think I have room to put that?
I don't know. Just put it in the living room.
I got an idea where
as
you can
a couch?
Put it. Anyways, I came into the newsroom earlier, and our sports DCD, Michael Shuley, asked me why I was sweating so profusely.
I was there for this. It was very awkward because he had clearly not been outside, I don't know, all day.
And I was, quote, dripping wet. I went through Romo's and I was like a wet mop just flying around trying to get ibuprofen and like cough drops. But it's bad. It's genuinely bad weather.
How did that umbrella work out for you that you borrowed? The one that I had too much pride to use.
Of course Garrett has an umbrella.
No. It was in the closet, and it had polka dots, and I said, I have too much pride to carry this around, and I handed it to Garrett.
In the end, it was stole from me by Michael Shuley.
Wow.
After not seeing the weather all day.
What an anticlimactic story.
It was a beautiful, beautiful umbrella.
I don't even get to hear how it worked.
It didn't work, from what I understand.
Unbelievable. What, were there holes in it?
No, I don't think he even used it. He came back.
You've got to be kidding me.
One thing I want to mention while we're on the topic of Mike Shuley, it makes me think of our discussion on Kanye last week. Michael Shuley might be the biggest Kanye fan that I've ever met. I just wanted to say, you heard it here on Where's the News First. We called that album was going to be late. Garrett said it, and it was sure enough, at least 12
hours
late.
It came out at noon.
Yeah, so 12 hours late, exactly.
And closed on Sunday.
When it didn't come out at, midnight, and then he tweeted, we're going to get this out as soon as possible, I said, it's going to come out at noon.
So, yeah, if you ever doubt our credibility, just remember we have...
We got eyes in the sky.
Exactly, eyes in the sky, the ability to see in the future. We resurrected Garrett from the dead earlier.
No, I'm still dying.
We hope Garrett's healthy. He even canceled Colonial Rock Radio this week.
That was a tragedy.
His baby.
My child. I guess with that, that's a good segue into what are we all doing this week? Let's wrap this up.
Let's start with Nick this time. We'll change it up. Usually we start with Garrett. Nick, why don't you take
previews,
the reins?
Recaps, basketball starting, so we're going to get some articles out previewing both of the basketball team seasons. I'd be on the lookout for it if I were you, because it should be well-written content by some of Century Media's best.
Oh, and I should mention, I think Jonah Hoy, our good pal, is writing his first article for Century Media. I don't know if it's his first article
next
or
weekend.
Not. Oh, next weekend.
Next weekend.
Oh, okay.
I was sure. I knew he had a
volleyball game
in advance.
I wasn't sure which one. Well, maybe we'll talk about that next week. Jonah Hoy is going to be writing. That'll be interesting to see how that turns out.
Oh, it will be.
Garrett, how are things on your end?
We're trying to catch up in A&E. Like I said, I've been sick, so there's a couple articles sitting on my desk.
I wish I had no time frame to get things up.
I have a time frame. I just, I'm the boss of my section.
Yeah,
become,
we all are.
Become the man you were meant to be, Nick Hederick. Anyways.
By trick-or-treating in tornadoes. Tune in to Where's the News Halloween special, probably up before this episode is, so I don't even know why I'm plugging it. Go ahead, Garrett.
If you missed it, listen to it. Amen.
We have a Jesus is King review going out. We have a Bad Wolves Nation review in the works. We have coverage of the Creepy Conference. We have coverage of Haunt You. We have another album review that is sitting on my desk, and I don't know. Oh, it's Airborne by Mr. John Hanna. They released a new album.
I don't know that.
What is Airborne?
Yeah.
Like the thing you take, the pill that they advertise?
I should have took one. Moving on to you, John Bloom.
Oh, so you're not going to answer that question?
Airborne is kind of an older band.
Is it a dad rock band that John Hanna would write about?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
For me...
Case dismissed.
We had the first... Copy strike again. We had the first First Amendment debate today. That was cool to cover. I put up a package with my article this morning that sort of introduced the debate. That first live stream will be put up on the Century website at some point, hopefully. That's up to the Academic Media Center. I apologize for pausing there. My headphones just cut out. I thought I like broke something. Anyway, that'll be up on the website at some point. And along with that, Garrett is writing for news. And he is bringing up one of our favorite topics here on the show, the Yorktown elevators, which took its third and final fall. We had the right elevator down. We had the left elevator down. Now we have the middle elevator down. Garrett has had enough. He's fed up with it. His people who live across the hallway from him were complaining to him. And he is going to take on Robert Morris University and get to the bottom floor of the elevator incident.
Oh, Lord.
I don't necessarily need to take them on. They've been very helpful, but go ahead.
Yeah, he's not going to take them on the university. All right, I was trying to hype up your elevator story here, all right?
I mean, it's the Yorktown Tower of Terror.
I mean, you made that joke before. Get out of here. We don't recycle jokes here on Where's the News, even though I've recycled the copy-striking joke like
but
three times this episode.
But you're the clown of RMU Radio, John Blinn.
Garrett, you just looked at me like you were making a reference to something, and it never clicked.
No, you're just the clown.
I saw the Joker over the weekend.
That's good. What about the rest of the news?
The rest of the news, Garrett is doing that. Sonu is preparing to cover next week's First Amendment debate. This is really exciting for me because I know I've been talking about it for the past several weeks, but it's nice to see this event going on campus that involves all these different classes and organizations coming together to make something happen and promote it to the community, and really just sort of shows what RMU can do and what us here, which most of us work for RMU TV as well, what we can do. So I really enjoyed covering that. It's different content than what I'm used to writing, so I've been excited for that, and Sonu should be covering that as well. Michael Delahanty is going to be talking to the Counseling Center in regards to a mental health article that we recently received information on, and I'm excited for that one too because we're trying to make it a very informative and personal piece at the same time. We're really trying to spice the news section up. There's only three of us, so we figured might as well put as much quality into this. If we can't keep up quantity-wise because there's only three of us, we might as well make sure that the stories we put up are pretty good. So I'm excited to see what he learns from that. He's going to talk to Active Minds, hopefully, as well, another organization on campus that sort of really takes care of their students. With that, I think that's all I'm going to have coming up soon. Boys, any finishing notes?
No, I think your 8-minute outro was pretty well done.
Look, we're stretching for time this week, all right?
You got to cut these down. I mean, people are tuning out. They're like...
People aren't tuning out. They came here to find the news, Garrett, hence the title.
Did they need a 40-minute description about elevators in the counseling center?
Listen, that was creative, and you know it was.
This has been Where's the News?
This has been Where's the News?
Why you guys got to jab on me like that?
We just want what's best for you.